Hello, Prime Minister.
Apologies, former Prime Minister.
Why have I been brought here?
The cooperation of your chief scientist has not been forthcoming. Nalase's defiance is problematic.
It must be frustrating to have your resources but lack the expertise to achieve your goals. And if you fail to convince her, it won't be long before you are in a cell like me.
I fear you misunderstand your situation here. If you know of a way to persuade the scientist, now would be the time to mention it.
Indeed. In exchange for my freedom.
I'm listening.
There is a particular clone you must locate. A young girl. She is the key to controlling Nalase.
How very interesting. It seems we have much to discuss.
Got swept up by one of the greatest pop culture waves in cinema history. Now, as adults with a lifetime of fandom under their belts, they get together and discuss the mythology, characters, and business of creating Star Wars. Turn up your headphones, dial back your sensibilities, and join the wretched hive of scum and villainy as we take the low road to resistance.
This is episode 12 of season 4 of Force Insensitive, a Star Wars podcast. And on this week's show, we're once again talking about Bad Batch, and we will be discussing episode 11 of season 2, Metamorphosis. It's just the two of us, so, you know, figured I'd kick some things off with a little bone action. Little bone daddy.
I'm sorry, my mic was keyed in when that happened, and it fucking caught me fucking funny, and then it set off a coughing fit, so thanks for that.
You're welcome. I was trying to catch you off guard. But
between the weed and the yard weeds from today, my allergies are kicking my ass tonight, so I might be coughing and mucusy tonight. Apologies.
Oh, gross. But we do have an episode to talk about, and some other news and some other stuff. So we should get set up for attack run. This is Black and Blue Leader standing by.
Yeah, I'm the only other guy here, man. So it's just the two of us taking on the Death Star, man.
Well, hey, I mean, you know, you can be Porkins and I'll be Luke.
Why do I got to be Porkins?
I have the Force.
Okay. I can't because that's your name in our chat room, which always pisses me off because I always like Gold Leader's check-in in the original.
Here, this can be your check-in.
No.
All right, how about this?
No, that's both the other two co-hosts. Right. So you need to come up with something unique for me.
Here's yours.
No.
Hello there. How about that?
There you go. That guy.
Not this one? All right. Well, enough of that.
I might live with the mummy better than any other bullshit options, but Obi-Wan. Actually, as much as I'm an Obi-Wan guy and would totally love to have Obi-Wan, part of me is more like, I should really be Grievous's response. Hello there, General Kenobi.
Or, yeah, this could be your response, too.
Kenobi!
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. I can live with Sam Witwer and Darth Maul all day long. You know, it would be a great. I was thinking of this the other day since we brought up Grievous. You know how we use the Because you dumped it on me three times on the live stream we did. As an opposition or something other than the Sonic Charge, the hearing fucking Grievous wind up with all the blade spinning.
Oh yeah,
is a really cool sound effect.
Ooh, yeah, you could do something like that.
Anyway, so yes, we're here. We're talking about that goddamn Bad Batch. Alberto's not returning until someone kills Omega.
Bad baby.
let's just talk about the ant. Oh god, what are they? The ant.
Anzellans.
Anzellans. There's too many ants.
No.
Jeez.
No.
There's no. Indians, Anzellans. I need to get off the A's.
Yes.
I wish Mando was still going.
Yes.
God, I can't fucking. August is a long wait.
Yes.
Keep going. I'm just gonna let Grogu talk for me tonight.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Yes.
Bad baby.
Bad baby.
Bad baby. That might be like my favorite thing, like this entire year. Like.
Like I said, Babu Freak really didn't get me like, say, any of the other more cutesy characters that tend to get me in Star Wars. Not that he was bad. He just didn't grab me like he did you, per se. But the old cat from Mando did. Like, every time he shows up, I just get happy. I'm like, yeah. Does he have a name, that character, that Anzellan?
I don't think so. I don't think they named him.
That's sad, because the old man, main one, needs a name. He's a cool little fucker.
Bad Baby, that's his name.
Bad Baby.
You got Bad Bunny, now you got Bad Baby.
Oh, God, don't equate the two.
Well, do you want me to use Young Gravy? Come on.
Young Gravy, Bad Baby.
Young Gravy and Bad Baby.
That's the new team-up of the fucking century.
Yes, yes, yes.
And what was the other guy that you just said, too? The third guy blends in, too, that sprung us off there.
Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny, Bad Baby, and Old Gravy. Young Gravy.
Young Gravy, Bad Bunny, Bad Baby.
Yeah, no, I can't handle Bad Bunny. That's all you, man.
No.
Not my jam. To each their own, but not my thing.
The only reason I know that there is a Bad Bunny in the world is that he has appeared in wrestling. That's the only.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, he's been on WWE. He's wrestled, actually, gotcha. Which is kind of funny.
That is. Well, there's a long history of celebrities showing up at WWE matches. And
yeah, I'd never heard of him prior to that. So I don't know if that's like, you know, if I'm revealing how out of touch I am
that's why I try when I see these people get mentioned or they show up on one of the late night shows that I review in the morning, then I'll give it a shot. You know, that's how I found a lot of my favorite things.
Yeah. Like Young Gravy.
Yes. Just like Young Gravy. but I mean, so I always give it a shot, but I usually know within a few minutes if it's going to be my kind of vibe or not.
And yes.
You know,
Bad Baby.
If you're asking me if I'm going to watch Bad Bunny's performance versus watching that live performance of Nuno Betancourt doing the solo from that fucking song, there's no fucking choice there.
Yeah, no shit.
So, anyway, but anyway, we need to give that Anzellan a name because he's cool as shit.
All right. Well, hey, think of something. Don't put me on the spot, man. All right, well, so we're going to talk about some Bad Batch and Bad Baby.
Let's talk about Bad Baby instead. Nah, you know what? This week deserves to be talked about because this is one of the better ones, obviously. But
you mean Bad Batch Isolation?
Huh? Bad.
Oh, no, it's like that game, one. Alien Isolation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. The good ones I find make me angrier because it's like, because even my wife spoke up tonight and said this. It only took you 16 episodes to give us this, and then you're going to give us a short one with a cliffhanger? Fuck you.
Well, it was 11. I don't know. You guys move ahead to 16? Because we're on 11.
Well, it was a generalized comment. Not accuracy in numbers or anything, but, you know, which is true. So, like, when we do get to one of these episodes where there's some good shit going on, it's like, why wasn't this stuff brought in, like, peppered throughout the season, man? Show us what the Empire's up to. Like, this... maybe it's just because I don't remember the beginning of this season as much. Is this the first time we're seeing this doctor?
You know what? I mean, because we did have a whole season of Mando in between. I think it is, though.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, too, but I could be wrong. But if he did appear, it had to only be one other time. They've only done two episodes of this season prior to this that had any... depth. It was all the Imperial story.
Oh shit! He was voiced by Jimmy Simpson. I didn't actually know that.
Who's that? I'm not familiar with the name.
You have definitely seen him. Let's see. Let me just see what you would know him from most.
Well, props to him, because the whole point of me bringing this up was the voice of this doctor is fucking awesome. I'm riveted when he speaks.
Oh, it's funny. He did. He was in Studio 666 briefly. He was.
Oh, really?
The person who worked at one of the venues they showed. I remember him in that. But it was just like a very small role. Fuck. He was in Westworld. TV show.
Oh, great.
As a character named William.
Trying to remember who William might be, if it's anybody.
Yeah, I don't know. He was in 12 episodes. What the fuck else?
Well, props to him in this, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. He was in It's Always Sunny. Did you see It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
There's so many of them. Yes, yeah, I have.
He played a character named Liam McPoyle. He was in 7 episodes. He was in Knights of Badassdom, if you saw that.
Oh, I did see that. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, he played.
Okay.
He played Ronnie Kwok. What character was that?
He had to be one of the bad group's minion dudes or something.
Man. Yeah, I'm having trouble. He must not have been one of the stars because he's not listed on the main page here. So.
Well, I have actually watched that movie twice, believe it or not. Separate occasions, long time in between, but I did end up watching it a second time. I want to say towards the end of lockdown stuff back in the day, I watched it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you saw his face, you would know. Like, you'd recognize him instantly. He's just one of those guys. I didn't know his name either, so.
That movie came out right around the time oh my God, Danny McBride medieval thing came out. Your Highness, they came out around the same time.
That now, here's fucking the thing. Movie.
Here's the thing. I didn't really care for Your Highness that much. It was just too fucking stupid. It was going for it too fucking hard and wasn't landing some of the punches. But the Knights of Badassdom I enjoyed. But that being said, Your Highness has the one scene that sticks in my head forever.
The Minotaur penis?
No.
Okay.
it's actually a dialogue thing between McBride and James. Forgot his name.
Oh, I know who you mean.
Who played his brother in the movie?
Yeah.
The other main actor. But anyway, there's just this one scene where he's having a bit of a fucking, you know, he's just discovered the main plot to the story, so he comes in to
James Franco.
James Franco, he comes in to tell him, and he's like really going off, and Franco's really fucking high, and he's just staring at him. He's like, "Handle thine shit, sir. You need to handle thy shit." it still fucking kills me, man, because he's just so fucking high that he's just like, "You need to handle thy shit. Pull it together."
Yeah, there is some. I remember being a little disappointed with it, but there's some really funny stuff in it for sure. There's that.
It's got moments, but it didn't have a carry. Whereas the Knights of Badassdom actually had a carry. Like, I could follow that movie and there was enjoyable things going on throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
Your Highness just had moments seen together with nothing.
Yeah. So there you go. I haven't seen it in a while, though. I wouldn't mind rewatching that sometime. I saw it in the theater.
There was Natalie Portman's butt, which was a very nice visual moment within that film.
Shit.
But yeah, Knights of Badassdom was more entertaining to me than Your Highness, and they both dropped around the same time.
Yep.
Anyway, but that being said, Studio 666, that's the film that we reviewed on your other show, and
yep.
That was a good time, and I enjoyed that fucking movie for what it was.
So there you go. Jimmy Simpson is the voice of Dr. Royce Hemlock, and I believe this is the only episode he's in, or that he's been in so far.
But he's that voice of that character is fucking stunning. For the same reasons I like the way they do Thrawn's voice, it's just very cold and calculating. Like, he's very methodical in how he speaks, and I always enjoy a character that can speak slow and capture your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things together are not easy to do. So, yeah, he's that landed with me watching this episode. Every time he was on screen, I was interested in what that character was doing.
Yep. Yeah, he this was his first episode. I just double checked. He's in other ones after this, but this was his first one. So
gotcha.
But yeah, so we get this character of Dr. Royce Hemlock, and so we finally it took 11 fucking episodes, but hey, we're on Mount Tantus.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't named it that, but it seems like that's the deal.
Yeah. So we're there. And the, you know, we get, I always confuse their names, Nala Se and...
I forgot the oversight guy's name, because Lamassu is the one that died.
Oh, I didn't know. It is Lamassu.
Lamassu is the...
That was the one at the end, the, hello, Prime Minister.
Yes.
I mean, former prime minister. Yeah, it was. That's Lamassu, and then Nala Se is voiced by Gwendolyn Yeo.
Okay, Nala Se is the one that we see in Attack of the Clones.
Yep,
live action.
Yeah,
I think you see Lamassu too. He's talking to her at one point, but they don't ever call him by name, I don't think.
I think you're right. So. We get...
Anyway, I like the Kaminoans as a race. I thought they were really cool, so I always like seeing them come back.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go ahead and... Let me just go through and read... so this is episode 11, Metamorphosis, directed by Saul Ruiz and written by Sabir Perzada. And this one originally dropped on March 1st, 2023. And... Let's see, the synopsis for this one, as always, brevity is key here. And the Batch finds a mysterious missing vessel. That's it. And as I mentioned, we have the voices of Dee Bradley Baker as the Batch in all the clones. We have Michelle Ang as Omega. We have Rhea Perlman as Sid. Jimmy Simpson as Dr. Royce Hemlock. Helen Sadler as Dr. Scalder. Bob Bergen has mentioned as Lamassu. Gwendolyn Yeo as Nala Se. And Keisha Castle Hughes as Emery Carr.
That must be the lady who shows up at the end.
I think so, yeah. So in this one, you know, business picks up a little bit. And we get sort of an... Oh, you know what? I'm going off the fucking path here. We should do first impressions and then dive in a little bit deeper. So let's kick it off, Rock, about your first impression about this one, because it sounds like there's some stuff you appreciated more about this.
Yeah, I don't think I'm the one that watched this first by any stretch, but
no, I watched this like weeks ago when it dropped, and I just kind of brushed up on it before the show.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this has all the components of the good stuff. I mean, the good storytelling. We're back onto the main plot. What I've been arguing about this whole time was out in just one little bit of dialogue from Hunter, where he's like, yeah, someone needs to tell Cody and Rex about this. I was like, yes, yes, somebody does. Somebody needs to tell Cody and Rex to come here and save this fucking show. Join the team for a fucking round of fucking Imperial ass kicking, you know? Let's do something. So that got me jazzed there. Like I said, Dr. Hemlock, every time he was on screen, the voice and the eyes riveted me watching him do his dialogue.
Yeah.
So I really like, once again, all the most and this is so weird for me that this show is so heavy, where all the most interesting characters in the show are all the bad guys, all the Imperials, and we never yeah. get to see them. And that's what pisses me off. Like, I want to know what's up with Crosshair. What's he going through? You know, because they've already said the way the Order 66 works is it was a reset, but they have new memories from that point forward. So they're still reacting to what it is they're doing. So that's why there are some who are like, yeah, no, this Empire deal isn't fucking cool. Yeah. So, so that's where the interest lies in all this, is seeing from both sides of the thing where these reset clones are the ones that didn't reset, who are now viewing, you know, this from a different perspective and being a clone by the same token. Certain things that were hot for me that I enjoyed was, I like the fact when the Star Destroyer came in and started fucking carpet bombing the fucking wreckage to make sure there's, you know, nothing left. And even the way they, you know, did the capture thing with the populace and did the whole Imperial fucking shtick was really good. Seeing the fucking drop ships come in and chase the fucking, I forget the name of the Bad Batch's ship.
The Marauder.
The Marauder. That whole chase sequence was really yeah. visually fun. I think both of us can easily say that when there's a good space or inner atmosphere air battle, we all love that shit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so this was, again, makes me happy and enjoying the view and watching the episode, but it still makes me angry and sad that they're not doing this more often and better placed within a season. So, yeah, so it's a bittersweet thing. My first reaction is basically that it's bittersweet, because I'm happy that it was a good fun episode, brought me a character that I'm intrigued by with the Doctor, and but just pissed off that I can't be like this about every episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so for me, the one thing that jumped out at me about this episode for some reason was, I mean, it's consistent, like the animation and everything is very consistent and it's looked good all season long. But for some reason, there was something that made this episode look even better than normal. Like, I'm not sure if it was just some of the lighting choices, like...
Okay, so you got that too. That wasn't just me, because I felt that way too. But yeah. We also had such a long break since we watched the last grouping. That in last week so disinterested in me, I just maybe didn't notice it, but I felt that way too, that this one looked really sharp.
Yeah, it did. It looked real sharp. And I'm not sure, like, what, you know, like, why, but even from the very first opening scene of that derelict ship, you know, kind of smoking, like, and we got like a really cool pan.
Let me do my derelict shift impression while you finish your thing. I'm going to be smoking. Okay.
The, yeah, just kind of seeing it show up, and then they do this cool pan around like the bottom of it. And just the way, like, I feel like the way that they animated this one felt different. Like different camera shots and angles. I don't know. Like, there's something that felt different about it. But it was directed by Saul Ruiz, which, you know, as we know, he's done a bunch of them. Like he in this season alone, he did one episode. He did The Solitary Clone, which was the first Crosshair episode this season. And that one was awesome, you know. So maybe he's doing some different stuff that we didn't really pick up in the others that some of the other directors aren't doing. But yeah, I don't know. There's something that just really stood out about the way this one looked, the way it was animated, the way it felt, some of the camera shots, and even some of the slow camera movements down the hallway of this derelict ship looked fucking awesome. Like very slow kind of creeping movement down the hallway.
How can you make this sound perverted?
What's perverted?
I'm going to slowly let the camera drift down.
I didn't say that. You hear what you want to hear. I mean, hey, if... You know,
I'm just saying, man.
If really creepy. You know, if you want to turn this into your personal 900 number, and you know,
oh, yeah.
And do your
this
thing
is our
over
Patreon
there.
Exclusive. If you'd like Johnny to fucking give you some ASMR and talk fucking low and deep in your ear for $25, he'll talk about the size and girth of your genitals.
He slowly panned the camera down the long hall, the long, dark, dank, wet, moist hallway.
Moist.
There, how about that? Is that good?
You know, I've been trying to think of fucking fictional hockey team names for a fictional league thing, and I'm gonna have to name something the something moist. That's just gonna be their fucking name. The Saskatchewan Moist.
There's got to be some good alliteration. Is there like a...
Ooh, even better. I'll take a really obscure fucking name like Nunavut. There's a province up here at the Nunavut Moist.
No.
Ain't Nunavut Moist. It's very arid up in there. I'm older now. I got the change happening, and it's not so moist up in Nunavut. None of it moist. That's going to be the team, the Nunavut Moist. I'm in. All right, moving on.
Well, glad we could get that figured out for you.
Thank you. You helped me, sir. Nunavut Moist.
Rocky likes ASMR so much that, you know, he just was compelled to name his team.
Do you know, once I heard that was a thing, I did go for like a couple of days, not back to back, but there was a couple of days where I just kind of fell down the rabbit hole to see what it did when I was high and just shut my eyes and listened to shit. And there were some things that were very relaxing. So I have to admit, there are some things that are like some of the noises people were combinations of plastic bag on cheese grater or whatever the fuck.
What the fuck?
Genitals across the cheese grater. That was fun ASMR. It was hard to keep low tone when you're getting fucking scraped. That's talent. Well, how do you clean your taint?
That's
you
not
really get in
that,
there.
That, yeah, that's not for anyone on the that listens to the show to hear.
No you one really wants, shook something loose, Tiger.
Yeah, you really jarred something loose there, Tiger.
Don't forget rent's due next week.
Shit.
Can we just do fucking Kingpin podcast?
The King Cast.
The King Cast.
Oh wait, there is a King Cast for Stephen King.
The Pin Cast.
The Pin Cast.
Pin Cast. Let's do it. We can break that movie down for at least a year.
Or we'll call it the 7-10 split cast.
There you go. Actually, let's combine it. We'll do a Kingpin and Big Lebowski podcast where it's just everything bowling. All bowling movies are on the table.
All bowling movies.
We'll call it the Pin Cast.
What are some other good bowling movies?
That is a good fucking question. Lebowski, fucking Kingpin. There was I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a movie about bowling, but if bowling was like a central thing. For some reason, I feel like there was a movie I watched where they kept ending up at the abandoned bowling alley. It was like a regular set piece throughout the movie.
There's something called A League of Ordinary Gentlemen, but I think it's a documentary about bowling.
Oh my God, a documentary about bowling.
There's a movie called Dreamer from 1979. Shit, I recognize the actor. I can't think of his name, though, so I have to look it up now. So Dreamer from 1979. It's got, up-and-coming professional bowler trying to win a tournament against a grizzled veteran bowler. And it stars Tim Matheson, Susan Blakely, Jack Warden. That's the one I recognized. I couldn't remember his name.
Jack Warden. What is that?
You would, if you saw him, you would recognize him instantly. He was in 12 Angry Men, if you saw that.
Oh God, which one?
The 1957 Sidney Lumet. Let's see. Shit. I mean, I see his face and I'm like, I know this dude. I just can't think of what, like, would be the most immediately recognizable thing.
Gotcha.
So let me, he was in Toys. He was in Problem Child 2, Problem Child 1.
Oh my God. Toys, the Robin Williams.
Play. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's obscure.
Just look him up, I guess, if someone wants to know. But anyways, yeah. So Dreamer, a bowling movie.
There's, and now back to the Bad Batch. How do you work?
Not yet. Not yet. We're talking about bowling movies. There's one called Black Ball. And Black Ball.
I think I saw that on Pornhub.
What's that?
I think I saw that on Pornhub.
Black Ball has Vince Vaughn's in it.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Synopsis, a rebellious young British bowls player teams with another older and more traditional player to take on the Australian bowls team.
Does that sound like lawn bowling if it's UK?
I don't know. It's on Tubi. If you want to watch it, go watch it.
That should be a thing, man.
Oh, sorority babes in the slime ball bowlerama.
Well, that sounds like something we need to watch on a live stream.
Well, that's one I've seen. That's like,
have you really?
Yeah, it's a pretty infamous like 80s B movie.
Huh, not familiar with that one.
There's one called Gutter Balls.
Oh, Gutter Balls. I've seen that one before. That name sounds familiar.
It's a horror movie too.
That might be the movie I'm thinking of then. It's not drawing a link in my brain at the moment, but it very well could be.
It's from
the scene.
2008.
It's very possible. I think I might have seen that. That might be the one I'm thinking of.
I'm trying to see if there's anyone in it that I recognize now. It looks like it's another B movie.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, called Gutter Balls. Buffalo 66. I actually have seen that, but I don't remember their.
Oh, that's the one with Christina Ricci. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The weird little crime thing.
Yep. Oh, and the Flintstones with John Goodman.
Well, of course. Of course. Which, say what you want, that first Flintstones movie was charming as fuck as a live action representation of that cartoon. I still find that first one funny. Second one, Rock Vegas, can suck a bunch of dicks, but fucking. First Flintstone with John Goodman. And who played, wasn't Rick Moranis played Barney? Who played Barney?
Yeah, Rick Moranis, yep.
Gotcha.
And there is, hold on, there's one more I'll bring up. It's called Split, and I'm not talking about the M. Night movie. It's from 2016. I think it's South Korean. Let's see. Why can't I find this one?
God damn it, you got that song stuck in my head again.
Split. Yeah, as her 30th birthday looms, an overachieving woman with a thing for bowlers decides to marry the man of her dream in just under a month. Split.
Interesting. With a thing for professional bowlers, huh?
I guess.
Out of all the weird kinks that have come into my pantheon of knowledge over the last decade, I find that to be the oddest turn-on. But, hey, man. Everybody's got their thing, so rock out with your fucking cock out. Bad baby. Anyway, all right, so back to the Bad Batch. Yes. Do you know for sure that's Mount Tantus, or are we just calling
it is. It is.
Where have you seen it listed as Tantus?
A few places.
Like?
I mean, I looked it up at the end of last season, so I don't remember.
Okay, well. If you're sure it's Tantus, then that's awesome. I mean, in my mind, that's where it goes anyway, because I assume at the end of last season that that's what it was. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, it's exciting, especially knowing what's coming up the road in the live-action stuff in August. It's nice to have some of this groundwork being laid anywhere. But
let me look up Wikipedia, and let me go ahead and see.
I wonder if Thrawn will make an appearance or get name dropped at the end of the season of Bad Batch, knowing that he's coming.
I don't know. I mean, part of me feels like I'd rather wait until like live action. Like it seems like a bit of a, I don't know, like not letdown, but it seems like mentioning him here would be weird before he shows. I don't know. He shouldn't show
he's
up.
He's already showed up in Rebels, so he's already
well. I know, but so. Yeah. But what I mean is, in this timeline, with you know things going on now.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, he's there at this time, so.
So this is verified Mount Tantus. If you go to Wikipedia, it's verified.
Okay, well, I mean, it's just because Tantus is from. Those Thrawn books. So it is a tie. So they're not even having name drop seems like a wasted opportunity. But again, this whole show has kind of been a lot of wasted opportunities. So I don't know. But we're talking about this specific episode. So it's cool. That's Mount Tantus. The arrival there and the whole deal was a nice kickoff. The lead scientist lady who's there dealing with, Nala Say is she's kind of a cold bitch too. Just like Dr. Hemlock.
Yeah, that was I think Scalder, I think was that character.
Is the child of Scully and Mulder?
Yeah, could be.
Scalder? We have broke the code, man.
Scalder.
Scalder.
So yeah, so I think I'd started
not hot, cool. I know, it's Scalder though.
I don't think I finished my first impression. Not that it really matters now, but I was talking about how good the animation looked, and we kind of got off on a tangent.
Oh yeah, no, we did.
But I think it looked outstanding. Like there's just something that really stood out to me about this episode. Looked really, really amazing. And you know, I liked the sort of they do this from time to time in the Bad Batch where there's like. A theme or like a reference, and this one was very like alien, you know, alien slash aliens or even Dead Space potentially.
Yeah,
if you want to go there video games.
That vibe.
Yeah,
yeah, there was another vibe I was thinking when I was watching it. But anyway, finish your thought. If I remember it, I'll jump into it.
Yeah, yeah. So
very much that same vibe.
But I like. See, the thing I liked about this is it had the. You know, first off, we get the quick little sort of like intro to the episode on that derelict ship. And then we cut to Mount Tantus, like literally 2 minutes into the episode, not even 2 minutes in. And then there's a ship arriving there with, you know, with escorts. And then we get that whole scene with Nala Se and, you know, and her imprisoned, and we get some more, finally we get some information about what the fuck is going on here. And,
right.
you know, it's just really good to finally get something. It just seems like, I don't know, it seems like, all right, well, you could have done this a lot sooner, and you could have kind of stretched things out a bit and kept people guessing about, like, where this is going, as opposed to just waiting 11 episodes and then just dropping
it. And that's the pisser, too, that they leave it on such a cliffhanger, where it's like, a lot happened, but a lot didn't happen at the same time. So for the episode to sort of be so short, it was like, why are you giving all this good stuff, and this is all you're giving of it? It's like, you know, that's great if you've been doing this all season to leave this kind of cliffhanger of a story, but it really is just aggravating, because it's like, okay, you've got me locked in, so you're ready for the fucking first punch to get thrown, and it stops before the first punch gets thrown. It's like,
yeah,
you know, come on, man. You know, give us something for the effort. We've been trudging through 11 episodes of horse shit, and fucking now we're finally getting to some good, you know, clean stuff to lick, and you're just fucking...
What? Clean stuff to lick?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that from?
It's from me.
So clean stuff. So you're saying you don't like to lick dirty stuff?
Not usually. Like, in my past, there's been some extreme measures necessary, but fucking, you know, on the average, no. You can say a lot of horrible things about me, but the one thing you can't say about me is that I'm not a clean dude. I am a very clean fucking individual.
Oh, you're dirtiest. You mean physically? I see. Okay.
Physically, you don't want to hear a damn thing I have to say, but you could eat sushi out of my butthole.
Oh God! Exactly. No, thank you.
I'm just saying that if you're put to the test and it's like you're either going to die or have to lick somebody's butthole, you could do worse than me. Is all I'm saying.
You never go fishy ass to mouth.
Sometimes you go ass to mouth. But yeah, so anyway, where the fuck were you there before we went off on that?
Well, I was just about to say, one other thing we already talked about the character of what was his name? Dr. Royce Hemlock, that's it. We already talked about how cool he is and how he was just a great character. And
I want to do some fucking downers. I want to watch him and Thrawn have a conversation.
I feel like one thing the Bad Batch does is introduce some really awesome villains. Or at least not necessarily villains, but bit characters like Rampart, I thought is pretty fucking cool.
Dude, you got Rex and Rex doesn't have to be there all the time, but you got fucking Cody in play here, man. Let's see what happening with Cody.
Well, yeah, definitely. I'm specifically talking about the villains.
The Imperial side. Okay, yeah. You said when you switched it to bit players, I just thought, because that's been the argument we've said here, is like everybody's more interesting except for the main characters. So.
And the sad thing is that we hang with them like 90% of the time, if not more, 95% of the time, you know? So.
But I'm with you. The villains are infinitely more interesting in this show. And it's honestly, this is something I've never said about Star Wars, because as much as I love the villains and some of the motifs or stuff, I've never really rooted for the evil side, because they're evil enough. It's like nothing they're doing is good. They're just visually pleasing to see do the bad stuff kind of thing. I've never rooted for the Empire. I'm rooting for the Empire in this show. That's fucked up.
Because good is dumb.
Because good is dumb.
Yeah, so the Hemlock, though, is a great character. Like, right away, when he's on screen, like, he's immediately awesome. And, you know, I think we get that with a few other characters in this. And that's what makes it so interesting, you know, about the Empire. And I want to know more about the Empire, because they do such a great job of showing what it was like. And I think it's interesting as a sort of juxtapose against how fucking inept the New Republic is in the Mandoverse.
And no hearse, yeah.
You know, I think it's really a nice sort of dichotomy to show, you know, and obviously the Empire has its problems. Don't get me wrong, but their problem is everyone's going for a power grab. So eventually, it's just going to, things are just going to kind of collapse on themselves. Whereas, you know, the New Republic is so inept and so out of it that they're just ripe for the taking, you know?
Right.
So, I like the sort of way that they're showing the differences. And I feel like the Empire is just completely badass. And, like, a lot of the characters are just so well done. And then we get, on the other side, the New Republic, like, we get Tim Meadows' character, who's just, like, so fucking laid back. And, I don't know. You know, like, nonchalant. Like, we can't do that. They're, you know, when they said basically, like, they weren't part of the, the treaty or whatever, so they weren't going to send any troops to Navarro. You know,
right.
That whole thing. So it's just funny to see how the two sides are so very different, but both have flaws where you can see, oh yeah, well, I can totally see how this would go poorly or how this would end poorly and how they would be, you know, taken over by either, you know, in this case, the rebels or in the Mandoverse, how the First Order took over. So
all leading to the First Order. They're showing you how things are so dysfunctional. That's why Leia fucked off with the Resistance people. Like, we can't have, they're not going to have a standing army, but we need to have something ready in case.
Yep. Yeah. So that's one of the things I think it's one of the highlights for me about the show. And yeah, introduce some great characters. Like, I think the animation is fucking stellar. And this one especially had some like really amazing stuff in it. So that's my impression. This episode was definitely better. And I feel like the thing with the Zillow Beast, I think, was actually done fairly well. This is really similar to another episode they did. Remember the one where, I can't remember the name of the character. Sid's friend there, and she sends them on like a treasure hunt. That one,
the Indiana Jones style one,
where she's with them on the treasure hunt. Where they come upon like that robot creature or the mech creature. You know, I feel like this one had some similarities, but I feel like this one was done exceptionally well with how they handled the Zillow Beast and all that.
Right. Because it looks so good, the Zillow Beast looked neat. And the setting in which when it gets out and it goes to the tower with big energy surge, the way that was shot with lighting and everything was really cool because it was very reminiscent of a classic giant monster.
Oh, yeah. Total Godzilla.
Godzilla, yeah, all those types of things, but it also had some of the lighting and the way it gave it that sci-fi texture that looked like stills from an old sci-fi, you know, novel or comic book back in like the 40s and shit. So it had the way the lightning was radiating off of it, the way the buildings looked, the way the creature looked offset from that, it just was like a perfect melding of visual styles. Mm-hmm. That was just very pleasing to me. Anyway.
I think it was really well done. So I think, you know, they do some good stuff in this, and I think it's fairly interesting, especially as we get a lot of that sort of tension as they're working their way through that derelict ship, and and then they find the Zillow Beast, and then they get away, and then they have to chase it down, and I feel like this one had a satisfying ending, where a lot of other ones, sure, they don't get the treasure or whatever mission they're on ends up like getting fucked up somehow. But in this, it actually, to me, made sense because the Empire showed up, so they had to fuck off, like they had to get out of Dodge. So it's not like they just fucked up and they weren't able to complete it. This one, you know, they had to get away, and now it's sort of leading to something. And like you said, there's a cliffhanger, because now we know that the Empire was aware that there was, you know, a ship that got away. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, obviously there's a level of that too, because I mean, Crosshairs had direct contact with Tarkin and several of the higher ups, so they are aware. And that's another thing they haven't touched on, like, through all this shit, man. Even if you're not going to bring Tarkin in as a character, why are we not learning more about what's actively being done in his project to, you know, slowly get the clones out of the fucking military?
Yeah.
Because that's what he fucking wants. They haven't even touched on that since that Cody episode. And, you know, that little shit could be peppered in with all these other little side-ass grab adventures that they've been fucking doing to at least build some more of, you know, background on what is the Empire actually. Because when they started this show, they led us to believe we were going to get that. You know, I know Marge bitches about it till the fucking Banthas come home, but that motherfucker, the episode where you learn more about how they started instituting the chain code checking, you know, show us your papers thing.
Yep.
And their first lockdowns, those things were showing what the Empire is actually fucking doing during this time.
Yeah, I love that shit. Yeah.
And it's like, meanwhile, no, let's give you 50 million episodes of fucking, oh, Omega ran off and fell down the hole again. Wah, wah. Fucking, you know, they could be giving us, give us that if you want to, but give us a couple of episodes, a couple little blips over where you see fucking two soldiers walking, talking about the new fucking clone relocation project or whatever the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Give us some background on this fucking shit, you know? All missed opportunities. And here's the other thing we haven't even talked about. I was hoping Alberto would be here tonight, because I don't know if you played it. I think you did. But fucking, we had fucking, well, they're not Republic anymore, but Commandos.
Oh, yeah.
The entire garrison that's comprised around protecting the shit at Mount Tantus are fucking repurposed Commandos.
Yep.
So that was fucking heavy. I was like, oh, shit. We're not just one of them, but like literally the entire battalion of troops they dealt with are Commandos. So there's a lot of shit going on in this episode that could have been utilized throughout the season to also pick up some fucking storylines you started at the beginning of season one that you haven't even referenced, you know?
Come on, baby, finish what you started.
I'm incomplete. I know it's sacrilege that a lot of people do, but before he was with Van Halen, I was a huge Sammy Hagar fan. So, like, I enjoy a lot of the Sam Hagar or Van Hagar era shit.
It's it's funny. T-Dog loves Sammy too.
Oh, does she? Rock on, man. Yeah. Mad respect.
She listens to, like, it's funny because I never really listened to him very much before he joined Van Halen, but she has one of his albums she loves.
Three Lock Box.
She loves that song. And that
tell album. Her. Yeah. Tell her that one of my favorite songs of all time from the album before that is fucking Your Love Is Driving Me Crazy. It's one of the greatest pop rock songs ever fucking written, dude. It's
just, she'd probably agree with
it. It's rock and roll perfection. So did I tell you, I've been forced into a position where I have seen Aerosmith four times. Not because I'm a huge fan of Aerosmith. Yes, I'm not a huge Aerosmith guy. Not that I hate them, I'm just not a huge fan. But when my wife worked for a larger organization, fundraising organization, one of the perks to that was every now and again you'd get concert tickets to big shows at the ACC. Like we saw Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young there. And every time tickets came up for Aerosmith, the opening act was somebody you had to see. So the first one we went to is because Lenny Kravitz was opening up.
Oh, yeah.
So we went and saw Lenny Kravitz. But the second one was fucking Sammy Hagar, dude. Yes. And I had never seen Sammy live. And so my wife was like, hey, do you want to go see Aerosmith again? I'm kind of like, not really. She's like, Sammy Hagar's opening up. I was like, fuck yes. I will tolerate Aerosmith. Plus, we can leave when we want to. For Sammy. So there you go, man. Mad respect.
Do it for Sammy, man.
Dude, Sammy's, I love Sammy so much.
How do we get talking about Sammy Hagar? Oh, come on, baby. Yeah.
Come on, baby, finish what you started. But that's the whole premise of this fucking show is like, this whole episode is exactly that, dude. It is literally luring you to erection just to slap you on the head of your dick with a ruler.
What?
It's so wrong the way they treat
it's so
you.
Wrong. Well, to some people, maybe that's right. I don't know.
Again, everybody's
Alberto's into some weird. Alberto's in some weird stuff. So
if you slap his dick with a Gungan tongue, oh, shit, son, that boy will pop like a fucking champagne bottle.
Gungan tongue slapping.
Gungan tongue slapping, baby. What you saying?
Speaking of, come on, baby, finish what you started.
Or you haven't lived till you've had a Gungan ass motorboat. Ugh. Where fucking Boss Nass gets up there and goes. So Alberto's so sad he's missing this episode between Republic Commandos and fucking Gungan tongue dick slapping.
God damn it.
So, there you go. But that's the thing, man. It's just like, it's almost feel like they're being rude to us
by giving us so many episodes of mediocre shit. And when they get to something good, then they like stick the, you know, take a whiff and then yank the bowl away. It's like, you know, fuck you guys. At this point, you're just being assholes. You're trying to hurt people who are trying to support this show. God damn intergalactic PBS. This show will only survive with a donation and your support.
Yeah. So
you have to be ancient to know what PBS is these days. There's probably a bunch of motherfuckers like, what the fuck is PBS?
Peanut butter sandwich, man.
Oh, that's true. That's PBJ.
No, that's peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, just a peanut butter sandwich? Like with nothing else but peanut butter?
Yeah, I'm sure some people are into that.
Toast. I've done that on toast.
Yeah, I've done that too. On straight bread. Oh, speaking of PB&Js, what a fucking weird
segue.
Speaking
about BJs, sure, yeah. you can never put P near your BJ, man. That's a good way to get somebody pissed off at you.
What was I going to say? Oh, a couple weeks ago, I made myself a PB&J with banana. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try something else. And I had some granola, like crunchy granola, and I kind of sprinkled it on top. And it was fucking good. It was like peanut butter, jelly, banana with granola. Like a certain kind of like granola. It was like it was the kind I tried it with was Trader Joe's. So I don't know if people have Trader Joe's near them, but it was JoJo's flavor. That's their like Oreo cookie like knockoffs.
Yeah. Right.
So they there's like a granola that's kind of like that. And it was real good. So. There
I have
you
to
go.
Be
those
mindful
are food
of my
tip.
Sugar intake, but here's another food take for you in the same vein, too. We were at a farmer's market a couple of years back, and I always try something if I have a certain thing that I love, like lemon. Mm-hmm. You always got me if it's got lemon, and I love cinnamon is another thing, too. So they had this cinnamon apple spread at this fucking farmer's market. And I brought it home, make a piece of toast, put a big dollop of butter on it, rub it around, and then smear that fucking...
Rub it around.
Put it on my nipples.
Really, really wrench it in there.
you gotta really get up in there, buddy. But anyway, yeah, man, put a pat of butter on that motherfucker and put that cinnamon apple shit in. Fuck, it was good. Jesus, fuck, it was... I'm having an orgasm thinking about that shit from 2 years ago. Good God. It was good, but yeah, I'm with you. A good PB&J fucking rocks, and I'm glad. I don't really do the jelly too much if I put banana on it, but I do fucking put peanut butter and banana on a sandwich. That rocks.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's
oh,
a
here's a
food
here's
tip.
another little here's another little pro tip for you too. A chef friend of mine a couple of years back turned us on to this, but he's like, we were talking about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and he was like, "Yeah, you ever fucking do one of those fuckers up like a grilled cheese?"
Oh, you told me about this before. I haven't tried this though.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, dude. Dude, make that happen. Do yourself a favor.
So
When you complete a
you just
project at work, make one.
What do you put on do you use like butter when you put
Some
it on
people
the
use butter. When you talk about when you do it in the skillet.
Yeah, when you put it on the skillet.
Some people use butter. I try to limit how much, you know, stuff goes in there. So I usually use a pan spray just to keep it from
Oh, gotcha.
sticking.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, either way. But yeah, you just throw it in the skillet and just do it like you do a grilled cheese. It's just peanut butter and jelly instead. And oh, fuck, it's a whole new world. Or if
That's
you have
so
a
weird.
panini press, put it in a panini press too. Works that way too.
What makes it like a whole new world? Like, is it because it gets really like super melty and
It's like, especially in the winter when it's chilly,
like
it's nice to bite in and get those flavors, but just have the warmth of it's a comfort motion is really what it is. It's different level. Plus having the crunchy bread versus normally just having the soft bread, you know, it's just a nice change of pace. So yeah, try it.
All
Let me
right,
know what you
well,
think.
maybe I'll try it sometime. Maybe after this fucking show if I'm feeling up to
And if you like it, I'll pass it on to Chef Anthony that you fucking enjoyed.
And if I
And
don't.
I'll be like, hey man, there's a dude in Boston that said, fuck a lot of chefs in particular, but that guy in particular. So let's see what happens. If you see a very large, tall man with fucking big flowing dreadlocks coming your fucking way, just run. Nah, he's a sweetheart of a guy. But yeah, it's good, man. Like I said, when it's a little chilly out and you want to do a PB&J anyway, it takes an extra couple of minutes to just flip it in the skillet.
All right, flip it in the skillet, add a little gung and tongue slap into it, and you're all set.
No.
No?
No cream in my PB&J, son.
All right.
Keep your cream and your pee away from my BJ.
Oh,
So,
God.
anyway, all right. So, yeah, I mean, that's the motion of the show. Is it's just a whole lot of fucking drag you along. Then, when they start to give you something good, they fucking yank the rug out from under your feet, and they're a bunch of assholes for doing it. That's it. But this was a good episode, so I will commit to the fact that this was a good episode. I just hope these next final couple land the punch that everybody has been telling me it will, because
Yep.
I've got at least six people who've told me
At
that.
least six. Wow.
Yeah, well, we have several of our listeners. Rouge One, who joined us on the
Yep.
live
Yeah,
stream,
she
said
did
the
say
same
that.
thing, and then a couple of I still keep in touch with some of my industry friends. Text me every once in a while when something good happens, and they, a while back, had said that the finale was a motherfucker of the show, but that was when we quit to do it to do Mando. So yes, there's been several people tell me that fucking expect something. So today was a good kickoff. Now if they can stick a landing, you know.
So I think this is the last. I think this might be where I stopped watching. Let me go ahead and see. Yeah, okay, so I haven't. I don't think I saw the next. Oh no, I did. Okay, I did see the next one. So I have seen the next one. It's good. I think you'll be very happy with the next one. So, but yeah, I think that's the last one that I've seen. So I think the final four I will be fresh for me. But
I don't watch the Final Four, but then again, I'm not a huge basketball
well,
fan,
yes,
so.
we all know that.
What, that I don't like basketball?
Yes.
How did you know that?
God
I
damn it,
don't
dude.
dislike basketball. It just doesn't.
Well, I just like basketball right now because the Celtics just lost the first game of the playoff series they're in. So.
Oh, I took an unintentional jab. Gotcha. No, I didn't even know.
Oh, no, no. I don't think it was a jab, but.
Okay, I didn't know if you thought I was coming at you with like, yeah, man. No. Why does Celtics suck a bunch of bag of dicks, man? Why the fuck's that? By the way, I did mention that we have the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? Okay.
Hey, they won a playoff series.
Oh, yeah.
This year, finally.
To be quite fair, I'm not actually. This is sacrilege. I'm not a Leafs fan, so.
Well, good. You shouldn't be.
I live in Toronto, but I'm not a Leafs fan. To be quite fair, I'm adopting a new team for next season.
All right, Bruins.
I figured you would be, but yeah, this year coming, dude, I'm fucking going to find a team and try to follow a little bit, and it's going to be the Seattle Kraken.
I was going to say.
I'm doing it. I love the logo, the colors.
You have to be a fucking Kraken fan.
Exactly. Plus, that's my favorite rum of all time. I keep a bottle of it frozen in my freezer.
It's your favorite body part, crack in.
Yeah. He's my favorite lawyer, McCracken.
Phil McCracken, yeah.
but yeah, no, I'm gonna do it, man. Their colors are awesome. The logo's cool. The theme's neat. It's Seattle, so fuck it. I'm like, fuck it. You know what? If I'm gonna have one that I'm gonna kind of root for in the back of my head, I'm gonna fucking jump on board with a new team. So I will officially. I mean, where I'm originally from, down in Charleston, South Carolina, we actually had a minor league, semi-pro team, the East Coast Hockey League. I think your area's got a team in our.
Was it the Moises?
But the South Carolina Stingrays, and I did actually follow hockey quite a lot before I moved to Canada through that team, not so much the NHL, but I watched the East Coast Hockey League stuff. My sister always got us tickets to go and see him live. So them and the arena football team we had at the time. Yeah, really enjoyed it. It's just I couldn't get on board with the Leaf thing when I moved here, which is sacrilege to say, and if I speak too loud, my neighbors will fucking firebomb my house. Yeah, they're very – I was over to when the Leafs actually played Boston a couple of three or four seasons back, maybe longer than that. Yeah, six seasons back. When Toronto faced Boston in the playoffs, I literally saw my neighbor pick up a fucking, it wasn't a controller. I think it was his Wii. He picked up his Wii and threw it through his TV.
He picked up his Wii and threw it through his TV?
Threw it through the TV. Put your Wii in the TV, son. Welcome to prime time, bitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, so after that I was like, okay, this is a little intense for me, dude. I mean, I was a rabid football fan for a long time, and I would get up and scream at the TV from time to time, but never once did I consider breaking an expensive piece of equipment because some overpaid fucking jock fucking lost the game, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, so yes, there you go. It's on the record. As of next season, I will be a Seattle Kraken fan, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Rocky's going to be filling the Kraken.
And I'll do a segment during hockey season called Canadians Filling Your Kraken.
Film a Kraken.
A Canadian needs his fill a Kraken. So, anyway. Yeah, I don't know how the fuck we got there from here, but how do we?
Who knows how anything happens on this show sometimes?
I know, right?
So, anyways, yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a lot more to say about this. It was a good episode.
It ends abruptly. Where can you go before anything gets pulled? It's a lot of setup. It's a fuck ton of setup.
So, yeah, but I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. I do know what happens next episode, but then after that, I'm flying blind.
And are you going to wait till the week of to watch? Or
I'm going to wait. It was actually when Mando was out, and I just wanted more Star Wars, and I was like, you know what, I got a few Bad Batch, I'll watch them, and then I'll rewatch them when we do them on the show. But then I just kind of stopped watching. I was like, well, you know, I'll just leave the last few for the show. But yeah,
I mean, with most every other Star Wars thing, I'll usually give it a second watch, and I don't do that with the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do it when we do the season 2 of Tales of the Jedi. I will definitely probably watch those twice before we go on air, because I enjoyed those.
See if there's anything else. Yeah, I mean, we got a nice little cliffhanger, as you mentioned. And
nice.
Now they're
Listen, nice.
Now they're going after, well, they know that there is a ship that got away. It was the Marauder. They're probably going to put two and two together and realize that's Clone Force 99, and they're now also going after Omega. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But yeah, I think finally we got a little bit of narrative, something to kind of go from episode to episode, as opposed to these one-off adventures that have no real bearing on characters or story.
There is no point.
So, yeah.
Anyway, he said fucking Cody and Rex, so I get the feeling that whatever goes down at the end of the season, we're all going to get at least Cody again. So I'm hoping for that anyway.
Yeah, it would be nice for sure.
Fuckers.
All right, well, that's so that's going to do it for this episode. And next week we'll be talking about episode 12, season 2, The Outpost. And
next week it'll just be one of us. You try to figure out which one.
Yeah, it might be. All right. We do have, you know what, normally we do news first, but we did get one voice message. I'm pretty sure it's probably related to the episode, so might as well just fucking play that. So let's hear from Darth Corny.
Hey guys, this is the episode of The Bad Batch where I thought we had left off, or you all had left off, before you all start covering The Mandalorian. I was telling Rocky a couple weeks ago that it's going to start getting good, and this was like that episode. I thought it was cool seeing the Zillow Beast and what the Empire was planning to do with it and everything about Mount Tannis on this episode. Also, it's the first time that we just see like the Empire just started arresting like their citizens. I kind of wonder how many of these people are going to be like on work detail or whatever, like we saw in Andor, just innocent people just getting arrested for just being victims of things. But you all have a good one. Hopefully you all like this episode and are ready to watch the rest of this season. Darth Corny out. Oh, yeah, Rocky, go fuck yourself.
Whoa.
You know what? You're about to become a victim of things. Darth
a
Corny.
Victim of thing?
That's what he just said. Characters who are victim of things. So he's about to become a victim of things. Nah, Corny, you're right. I'm hopeful that this is the jump off point, that I'm excited for it to be something I'm interested in, but it's been a long haul till now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see, and Darth Corny's usually spot on. We're on the same page with a lot of Star Wars stuff. So if he says it's going to get to the good stuff, then I did enjoy this week. So, I mean, yeah, go fuck yourself.
Well, there you go, Corny. Thanks.
I try to be nice, but that fucking Sith cocksucker can fucking eat all the bag of fucking holocrons.
Wow. Corny was nice to me, or at least he ignored me. I'm not really sure, but...
A little AB.
There's
a C direction, too, we can go with.
That's fine. But always good to hear from you, Corny. And thanks for think for, you know, for making us think that all the episodes are fucking awesome in this half of the season.
Hey, you fucking dickhead. What the fuck, Darth Corny? You know what? If you wake up in the morning and you go to brush your teeth and your pants are down and you just hear a voice go, well, hello there. Fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi is coming to fucking kick your ass.
That sounds like a threat. Sorry, I was yawning.
I'm glad my aggressive tone didn't put you out. But no, I mean, I am hopeful because I know what they can do. And if this is the arc that takes us to showing us the good shit, then party on. I just feel like I'm going to lean heavy on the fact that just the way the story editing went in this season could have been done better.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. You want to go back and talk about bowling movies again?
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, Darth Corny did bring up a good point that I forgot to talk about too. We briefly grazed it in the intro, I think. But yeah, the moment of subjugation where it was just like, well, we can't have any of these people who saw this fucking telling people they fucking saw this.
Oh, right,
so
right.
They were there,
yeah,
and locked fuckers down. And we're like, nope, off to a penal colony you go, and your mouth will stay shut.
Yep.
That was heavy. That was just like the checkpoint in the chain code episode. It was less about the chain code
Agreed,
itself,
yeah,
and more about the fact that they were going through a checkpoint to get off worlds now and shit. So this is that same level of thing that I want to know what the Empire's doing. And, you know, they're showing you straight up that when there's an incident, they just shut it down.
Yeah, I think it's both scary and like kind of impressive. Like that's real world shit, right? Like
I hate to draw comparisons to them because they're totally different animals, but this is the Andor moment where it's, yeah, like, you know, you saw the small things the Empire was doing throughout Andor that was slowly inching the match,
hey,
closer to the...
Don't let Papa Palpy hear you mention his Empire and small in the same sentence.
Okay. Limited girth, not length.
He's a grower, not a shower.
I'm a grower, not a shower. This is something that the Jedi would say.
Unlimited growth.
Unlimited growth potential.
Oh, I'm afraid the little blue pill will be quite operational when your mouth arrives.
Little blue pill. and now the show is on track.
There you go.
I'm afraid.
The little blue pill will be quite operational when your mouth arrives. You want this?
Oh God! That's too far. Fucking creep. See? He did it.
But, yeah, where were we at before we went there?
Oh, God. It's just, I don't think we want to go back to where we're at.
But,
I'm afraid that this penis will be quite operational when the blue pill kicks in.
You see my anus.
I'd like to see Ben Stiller as his character from Starsky and Hutch doing Emperor Palpatine.
Do it.
Where do you think Palpatine stores his lightsaber?
In his Imperial prison wallet. I'm shocked you never heard that term before, dude. Seriously, that was the first time you'd ever heard that when I said that a few
days. You know what's
back.
Funny? After you mentioned that, I was like, you know what? I think this actually came up on the show before. And I must have just forgot because I'm almost positive you mentioned that before and we looked it up on Urban Dictionary or something on the air.
Really?
I think so, because I was like, wait, this sounds familiar. I must have, like, I wonder.
That's a long-running term, though. That's been around since at least the 60s or 70s, if not before.
Palpatine stores his saber in his Imperial prison wallet.
That makes you feel a little different about Andor now, doesn't it? That's why Andy Serkis couldn't jump in the water, wasn't he? Good, so he was like, no, I've smuggled electronics out my ass. I can't dive in.
No, the water just goes in there and it just fucking drags him down.
It's just like a big suction. His ass just nails. Sucks in the water.
It's like
and
a
drops
fucking
him.
Keg of water.
He's like a party ball. he's like floating in the water, sinking down, singing fucking Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball.
Oh, God.
What if the other prisoners couldn't swim is like hanging on to him like her, and he's got a wedgie.
Oh, shit. It reminds me of that fucking, what's that slogan? Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Capital One, what's in your prison wall? Barry! You've met my roommate Barry, right? Right now, he's making a deposit into this prison wallet. So wait in line, sir. Take a number. What's in your prison wallet? Could you see that line being delivered by Grand Admiral Thrawn in some Imperial promotional fucking thing? What's in your prison wallet? Hey, that was a pretty good Thrawn impression for mine.
It wasn't bad. I'm afraid you're going to have to empty the contents of your Imperial prison wallet. I can't do it while I'm laughing.
Emperor Palpatine gets his little blue pills from fucking Thrawn.
Chiss pills.
Little blue pill.
What's it called? What's that called again? The blue pill?
Viagra?
Viagra, yeah. What do the chiss call it? Chissagra?
Chissagra. I think that was a character in Lord of the Rings, wasn't it?
Oh, it is now.
Hey, I'm going to send you something.
Oh, boy. The famous last words.
And this is when we go to jail. Oh, shit. I got to find it now. Fuck.
It's probably in your prison wallet.
It could be.
All right. Well, Rocky searches through the contents of his prison wallet. I'm going to start looking at some news here.
Two fingers in a flashlight.
Give it two taps and a twist.
There you go.
All right.
And that's how.
So this is moving on to news. You had actually mentioned something in the chat this week, and I thought you were just like making a joke or something. But now that I'm looking at the news, I see that you are actually fucking like telling us like something that's happening. And that is that fucking Urkel is going to be in Star Wars.
Yeah. You thought I was joking.
No, I just
Nobody
thought you were
responded,
just. So. I thought you were just being you. So.
What the fuck does that mean?
Just saying inane, crazy shit.
Okay. Usually my shit has some sort of a point.
Sometimes. But anyways, yeah, so Jaleel White confirms that he is playing a pirate in Star Wars Skeleton Crew.
Nice.
Pirate. Did I do that?
Did I do that?
That's kind of awesome.
I wonder if he's going to voice an alien or if he's going to be him.
I don't know.
I just sent you that thing, man.
Oh, boy. I'm scared.
You should be.
You will be.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think we've seen this before.
Have you?
Jabba the Slut. I feel like this has been shared in this chat.
Has it? Maybe.
I don't know.
It seems possible.
There's definitely has to have been some Star Wars themed fleshlight shared in this chat before. Jabba the Slut fleshlight. Is that actually a thing? Like, I would actually believe.
Yeah, I thought I was going to say I would actually buy that. Mars bought one, but he thought it was a suppository.
They should make one with Ki-Adi-Mundi's fucking moon head.
Oh, my God. It's hard to reach places. Expand your prison wallet.
Or they could do, I mean, you know, I don't know about the cross promotion on, you know, Ahsoka, but maybe they could do a Hera one, you know, with the Leku kind of hanging off the side.
Grab the Leku from both sides. Oh, God.
Why did I just say that?
That's what you were thinking. You grab those Leku, man, and you just fucking go to town on that fucker.
I was trying to think of some marketing possibilities for the new shows.
Get on it like a jackhammer on a fucking wet road.
You know, Gape Apes are always looking for new opportunities, so.
Hey, man. You know, it would be from a weird angle. But the camera shot could be interesting, make you wonder what's going on.
All right, anyway, so Jaleel White was asked, he was actually at an NHL game, and he was...
Was it the Kraken?
Oh, it was not. It was the Las Vegas Golden Knights and the Edmonton Oilers. So he was asked about his future career endeavors, and he said, oh, wow, I'm actually going to be in a new series on Disney Plus starring Jude Law called Skeleton Crew. Yeah, it's coming out in November, December, and it's part of the Star Wars universe. So that's a big change for me, man. I had to do 2 hours of makeup every day. I get to play a pirate.
Oh, so he is going to be an alien.
Cool. Was he supposed to say that? Like, I feel like he got ambushed and he just, like, fucking, like, caved in.
Yeah, he might be in trouble now. Fucking Kathleen Kennedy's fucking gungan slapping his wee-wee. Bad Urkel. Bad Urkel. Go to your room.
Bad baby.
Bad Urkel.
And as soon as they fucking busted, he was like, did I do that?
Yeah. Oops. Did I? Yeah, that's what he says. Kathleen Kennedy calls him. Jaleel. What's this I hear about you talking about your role? Did I do that?
Oh, I can't be mad at you, Urkel.
Yeah. Oh, Urkel.
It's my book. You know what's even weirder, though, is there was this really weird... I've seen him in a couple of things, mm-hmm. but the weirder one that caught me off guard, because I haven't seen him in so many years, and he has changed so drastically... there's this weird, it's actually not as bad as you think by the title. It's not great, but it's not terrible either. There's a weird show, it's called, I don't think it's teenage, so it might be High School Bounty Hunters or something. It's a silly little comedy about these two high school girls in this little redneck town that find out accidentally they stumble onto catching a bounty. Once they realize they can make money doing this, they start becoming bounty hunters. Their handler is Dwayne Wayne from A Different World.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and I haven't seen that dude. I can't remember the actor's name. I haven't seen that guy in so many years, and he's put on quite a few pounds, and he's much older with gray hair and shit now. And it took me like fucking two episodes to finally go, that's fucking Dwayne Wayne. He fucking freaked me out, man. So I always say that because Different World and Family Matters were out and about the same time, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of sitcom people I tie into the time frame in which I watch them, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So kind of like watching Sanford and Son and fucking the Jeffersons and fucking All in the Family and shit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was like all in that block, so all of them are lumped together in that same era.
Error. Owen, you old poop.
Alright, moving on to some other news.
Wouldn't that have been great if fucking grandma from that movie was in Star Wars? You go to the Lars family farm and like Owen's fucking grandmother's still alive and she's just fucking sitting at the table. Owen. Owen.
Except in Star Wars, her name would be Grandma Tarkin.
Old Grandma Tarkin.
Old Grandma Tarkin.
throw Grandma from the hover train.
Oh, that's just crazy old Grandma Tarkin.
Don't listen to her. She talks crazy shit. This one time I took 4 Bantha Poodoos. Do you want a Mos Eisley steamer?
Oh, God. So
old Grandma Tarkin does everything to fucking make money. Her hips fucked up these days, but she's got that fucking cybernetic implant.
Yeah, that
old Grandma Tarkin with her cybernetic china.
That Thundercat gave her.
Thundercat gave old Grandma Tarkin a fucking a mechanical china, and now she's just out, her and Pelly fucking Jawas and Tusken Raiders all over the place.
B. Arthur in Mechagina.
All I can think of is the South Park Mega Robert Smith. Did you ever see that episode of South Park?
I don't know. I haven't seen it in a very long time. So if it's recent, no. But if it was three seasons, maybe.
There was a kaiju episode where fucking all these kaijus manifested, some to defend and some to destroy Earth. And some of them were either things or people from around the world who you actually know. You just never knew they were a kaiju. And one of them was Robert Smith. The Cure. And they used to always, every time you show up
in charge,
they would say, Mega Robert Smith! Anyway, Mechagina.
So,
Mechagina Avengers.
This bit of news, I don't know. You let me know. Is this? You think this is legit or is this a swerve? Freddie Prinze Jr. says he is done playing Kane and Jarrus.
I read that too, and 9 times out of the 10, the ones that most come out and are like, fuck no, I'm not doing that, end up doing it. So,
right.
To go too hard the other direction, for him to not even pretend like he's honored to be one of the most known Jedi in the Star Wars pantheon, come on, dude. He has never come across to me as being that kind of a dick in any of the interviews I've ever seen him in. So that just seems A, out of character for him, and B, he doth protest too much.
Yeah, the way he puts it, he's like, the actor revealed that he only came back to do cameos for The Bad Batch and Rise of Skywalker because he was asked to as a favor, not because he wanted to. He's done playing the character going forward. What the fuck? Like, who talks like that when you have a chance to like be in Star Wars, you know? Like,
yeah. Exactly. And I mean, you were just introduced as a pivotal character in the new show. Your character is literally, you know, in their new jump-off point, they use your character.
Yeah. I mean, he does have one of his quotes, like, I actually don't disagree with. He says, because he was asked about the Bad Batch premiere, the cameo as the younger Kanan Jarrus, as Caleb Doom. And he says, I was asked to, yeah, I didn't necessarily want to. I feel like every time you hear Kanan's voice since Rebels ended, it really kind of dilutes its impact. I don't necessarily disagree.
Yeah.
Because as someone who, you know, had his story and his story is now ended, you know, I agree. But
he must know that as a dead Jedi,
right,
that's that side of the glowy.
Right. And we did see him as a glowy, so I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Exactly. So I think, again, he doesn't protest too much.
Yeah, and listen to this. Like, who says this? Like, he was asked about Rise of Skywalker, and he says, yeah, I didn't want to do that either. I was asked as a favor, and I feel like all their favors are used up now.
Yeah.
Who the fuck talks
again,
like that?
Where is this from? Just out of curiosity. Where is this?
It was from an interview he did with it's on YouTube, Christian Harloff's YouTube channel, it says. He did an interview with him. So it says Harloff logically moved on to confirm his involvement in Ahsoka, or lack thereof, to which Freddie confirmed what we're all expecting at this point. No Ahsoka. I'm done with Kanan. I'm too old for that stuff.
But you know what? that stupid because he literally, when he did Rebels, they weren't under Disney. He literally is under a contract with Disney now because he did Werewolf by Night. So he's under Disney contract. So why wouldn't you? If you sign a deal with a studio, you usually sign it for more than one thing. So why wouldn't you? It just doesn't. There's a lot of things that don't make sense. So
yeah,
that's why I think he's right. Just he's playing the rub too hard.
I think so too. I think he played it too hard to the point where I feel like now Kanan is going to show up.
Right, exactly. So which he kind of needs to, because once we find out what happened with Ezra and Thrawn, then there's got to be the only other thing that I could even potentially see is it not happening is if we find out something horrendous happened to Ezra and he's not actually in the show like we expect.
Yeah.
So, you know, he could be, maybe he died, you know, he's mm-hmm. a Jedi. Not everybody survives shit. So there's that possibility, which will fuel the fire for Sabine and Ahsoka to go balls and Hera to go balls out against the Empire. Or the Remnant.
Yep. So yeah, this is another news story. Entertainment Weekly recently interviewed Favreau and Filoni about Ahmed Best's return to Star Wars. And it says, unsurprisingly, they were happy that Best agreed to appear on the show. However,
that was awesome.
It seems that they also consulted extensively with Best before finalizing their plans for his appearance. And Filoni goes on to say, we love Ahmed, and he did such a great job. It was a real thrill for us to get him involved. We talked with him about it. We came up with these ideas, and we think, who might work with it? We make sure before we get too far to bring them into the process, so it's not just like, here's who you're going to play. It's like, what do you think of this? We want you to be this person. What are your thoughts on it? We try to make it a real collaboration and think it's really key to the success of it. So Filoni also mentioned that Bess was remarkably skilled at performing his character's fight choreography thanks to his previous martial arts training. And Filoni says, I didn't know how much he knew about martial arts. And then he picks up a lightsaber and he's suddenly swinging it all around and you're like, oh, okay. And Favreau says he studies Arnis. He knows how to do double wielding.
Nice.
So,
yeah. That's why he stepped up at the game and getting two sabers for that.
Yeah. So, also, I don't know if there's going to be a news story about this or not, but I did see that there's going to be a Disney gallery for season 3 of The Mandalorian. Yes. And
I saw that too.
I hope that it seems like it's just going to be like the one episode thing that they did last time. I liked seeing it as a series. I like seeing multiple episodes. But yeah. Hopefully there's a lot of focus on Ahmed Best and his, you know, and his yeah. His scene.
Yep. No, honestly, I'm glad they did because it is hard when I mean because it's like the Hayden Christensen thing. He took so much shit for it that he just, you know, stepped away for a long time. And the same thing with Ahmed Best. You know, he took so much shit to a drastic level.
Yeah.
And you know, to make that decision to be willing to put yourself, especially as an artist, is that's one thing people don't understand is, you know, if you're not of an artistic mind, then you will never understand that fear of putting something you create or something of you out there to people. Because, you know, especially in the modern douchebag age,
fucking
people instantly need, and some people are just saying nasty shit to be nasty. There's just fucking no two ways about it. So you just got to ignore that shit. But, I mean, that's a big step for somebody who's taking it. But by the same token, when what puts you in the, you know, that column is something so monumental, which makes the bad epic because you were in a Star Wars and people didn't like you. That's, that's a hard thing. To put yourself out there again. But that being said, he already kind of did it when he did the game show as that character. So
yeah, totally.
You know, he got his feet wet, but this was definitely, and you know, you give this character who was created on a lark, a pivotal role in the new canon, which is, you know, we've all wondered who the fuck saved Grogu from Order 66, and we all have these theories of all these people we knew, and technically we knew this guy, but never would have thought this guy. So, it's such a huge win for him in this season of Mando that, you know, and he deserves it. Like, he fucking landed the punches he needed to land as this character, and he is now embedded in history because everybody, when in the Pantheon, the same amount of people will know who the fuck Grogu is who know who fucking Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Chewbacca are, right? He is that epic a character within the Star Wars Pantheon now that fucking, he's now that pivotal character in history. If it was not for what's his character's name?
Kelleran Beck.
Kelleran Beck is sealed in legend of Star Wars as the Jedi who saved Grogu. So whatever Grogu's role ends up being when all is said and done with the run of Mando and Grogu's adventures, it's all owed to Kelleran Beck. So that's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk about the gallery in just a moment, but this, I don't know, this could be spoiler for some, so I'm not going to say too much, but Natasha Liu Bordizzo opened up about some of the combat training she had to prepare for Ahsoka. Did you see this, Rock? I don't want to say what kind of training she had if people are want to avoid a potential spoiler.
I don't think so. I haven't read anything on Ahsoka in a few weeks. So.
Okay. So, yeah, just if people want to know, Natasha Liu Bordizzo kind of talked about some of the training that she had in preparation for Ahsoka. So if you're interested in that, you can look it up.
Well, I'm interested. Fucking tell me.
Well, you go fucking look it up. What kind of... Well, okay. So it's not really that big of a spoiler. What weapon did she use in Rebels toward the end that Kanan Jarrus taught her how to use?
Oh, I figured that. So yeah, she's doing some saber stuff. Oh, actually, you know what? I think I did read that story.
Yeah. Apparently, okay. It's a green one. I don't know
it's,
what...
Yeah, I'm sure it's his. We know who we're talking about. I'm sure it is. Because he didn't leave with it.
Right,
at
right.
The end of Rebels.
Yeah. So it's possible that she's been wielding it the whole time or something.
Well, she's also got the Darksaber, so there's...
Well, not now.
Crazy. Oh, that's right. She already gave it to her at this point. That's right. I forget. She already passed it off to Bo.
And it's fucking destroyed now.
Well, it's destroyed now. We don't know exactly. Is this taking in a concurrent timeline to Mando at any specific season? What is the time frame in which they're telling this Ahsoka story?
Yeah, it's the same time frame.
So it's the same current time frame, or is it an earlier point in the Mandoverse?
Well, I don't know if they're going to jump. I don't know if they're going to time jump at all. But, I mean, the idea is that they all meet up in the end, and we have, like, a big fucking Avengers team up, so... So the Disney gallery thing. What? Why is that funny?
I don't know. I had it for when you, as soon as you said some Avengers team up, but for whatever reason, my brain switched to the fucking scene in Endgame where fucking everybody starts coming through the portals behind Cap.
Yeah.
And I was just like, fucking Grogu standing there, and all of a sudden it's like, what the fuck is Thor doing here?
Bad baby.
A bunch of Anzellans, like, all linked together, making a giant fucking war mech.
That'd be amazing.
Is it, like, the size of Ant-Man when he grows big?
So, official tweet. Disney Gallery, The Mandalorian returns with an all-new special, The Making of Season 3, streaming June 28th on Disney+.
Oh, well, at least there'll be something in between our Ahsoka time.
Yep.
That we can... watch.
Well, we will. I mean, we'll be doing Bad Batch, and then we'll be doing Visions.
And it looks like Skeleton Crew is hitting somewhere between fall and winter.
Looks like December.
Yeah.
November, December is what it said, but I think it'll probably be December.
I'm actually becoming more and more interested to see what this show is going to be about I know I've kind of oozed over his performance the last couple of weeks, but after seeing him in the Captain Hook role, I'm very curious to see what Skeleton Crew is going to be about.
It's funny to me because he's been in so many awesome things.
Yeah.
That's the one that made you like into wanting to see him in Skeleton Crew.
No, it's not the only thing, because you've never seen it, but I'm a huge fan of Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Well, fuck that movie.
No, fuck you, dude. You are missing out on a visual spectacle, dude. Sky, everybody who listens to this fucking show, call in and give this dirtbag fucking the fucking snotty end of the tadger until he watches Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Jesus Christ.
I'm telling you, man, you're missing out on a good flick, and it's not that long, because it came out in the end of the 90s. I want to say. So it was back when movies were, toned down a bit in the time run for theaters.
Well, have you seen Gattaca?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay.
Ethan Hawke and...
Because that one's pretty fucking awesome. And Jude Law.
Jude Law was in that one too. Wasn't Ethan Hawke and what was The Bride? God damn it. Tarantino's favorite foot model.
Uma.
Uma. Yep. Uma Thurman was in that, right? Ethan Hawke, Uma Thurman, and Jude Law?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen Gattaca. Dude, you know my love of science fiction. I will always fucking try to catch the new science fiction thing. That's why I'm saying fucking Gareth Edwards fucking movie. I'm in on that.
Yeah, that one looks good.
Yeah, what's the name of that? Source of the Sea?
The Creator.
Yeah, that looks fucking crazy, man. You guys can watch. Support the fuck out of him. Gareth Edwards deserves love for a long time for what he gave us.
Even though Tony Gilroy is brought on to fix it?
But dude, it's still Gilroy, dude. I mean, you could do a lot worse with those two motherfuckers working together.
But he essentially got like booted. Well, I don't know if he got booted from it, but they were like, yeah, like we're going to have someone else come in and do reshoots. See ya, dude.
It was just mostly for the end stuff, from my understanding.
So, all right, well, let's go through this fucking news. Production of The Mandalorian Season 4 may face delays due to this fucking writer's strike.
Yep.
So be prepared for that.
It sucks, but you got to support the motherfuckers.
What else? Comic stuff. I'm skipping that. I don't really give a fuck. It's not that I don't care. I'm not.
Jesus Christ,
we have to draw the line somewhere with the things we talk about and the things we
don't.
I'll
do anything but read shit in print. Fuck that noise. Television, podcast, radio, fucking.
There's all this radio goo goo.
Radio gaga.
That's all I got for news. You got anything you want to talk about?
For some reason, I thought they were. Oh, there is a little bit of fucking Black Series news for those of you who still
I didn't
follow
see
that
any.
Sort of thing. They just released Andor set that comes with Cassian and B2 Emo.
Oh, nice. That's kind of fucking awesome.
Yeah, B2 looks pretty good, actually. At least the photo that they showed.
Marva.
Yeah, it was a nice little two-pack coming out with Cassian and fucking B2. I thought you might be interested for that if you're the droid collector. I know some people. Actually, you're not the only person I know that has a droid fixation.
That's like my fucking serial killer name is the droid collector.
Droid collector. you only kill people who use Android phones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you just fucking cut their ears off and super glue them to the screen of their Android phone, and those are your trinkets. By the way, let me bring this up to the droid collector. Did you ever or make it? It took me a while to get into it. There were some seasons I find way better than others, but we've been kind of getting through some of the American Horror Story stuff because we just tried it a couple of times and it never really hit with us. So everybody kept saying I need to try it again. Did you ever watch any seasons of that?
I saw the first season. That was it.
Okay, so somewhere around season 6 or 7 or whatever the fuck it is, they did an homage to 80s slasher Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I remember seeing ads about that, yeah.
Yeah, so it was AHS 1984. Anyway, we just watched that season, and I got to say, I could see you as the droid collector with them hanging off a belt around your waist, much like fucking Mr. Jingles was in that fucking thing where he just had the keys hanging off his belt. You'd have all the
Or to bring it back to your highness with the minotaur penis around the neck.
Handle my shirt, sir. Yeah, there you go, man. The droid. What was the droid? What?
The droid collector.
The droid collector. There you go. Yeah, you can have
I
that
just I just take restraining bolts.
There you go. Or you just get all the little pieces from, remember that old Kenner toy from back in the day, the droid factory that had all the different parts where you could build your own droid? Did you ever have that as a
Oh,
kid?
I don't think I had that, but I remember it, yeah.
Yeah, have all the droid components hanging off something off your belt. So there's fucking all the different droid heads. I'm surprised you didn't have that toy because that was a fun toy. You could just build, I mean, you could only go so far, but you could mix and match some parts and make some funky droids.
Maybe I'll find it now. Maybe I'll look for it. I'll go on eBay and look right now.
And you know what? So, some of the. So when you. Okay, when you, okay, so here's the question.
Oh boy, okay. Is this the question?
It's a question.
Okay.
We'll determine things. So out of all the astromech droids, which do you find the most aesthetically pleasing? The R2 with the
Oh
rounded
God.
sleek things, or the R4s, or do you like the R5 units with the fucking, squared off heads, or do you like the R, what are the R4s that have the cone head things? Which is your favorite Astromech design?
Well, fuck. Which I actually forget. Is it the R3 unit with the clear dome?
Yeah, I think you're correct. It's still a rounded one like the R2 units, but
But it's
it's
clear,
they're
right?
glass. Yeah, those were pretty cool.
So let's see. The R3 Astromech had faster processing abilities than the more common R2 units. Some R3 series Astromechs, such as R3 S1, had transparent domes. There you go. So while others.
Where's that set R4 above them then? Is that how that works? Is this evolution?
Let's see. Let me look at the R series page here. So the different models. So it's, yeah, I mean, R1, R2, R3, R4, R4P, R5, R6, R7, and R0.
That one has a fuel leak.
What is the R0?
I don't know. I've never
Ooh,
heard of that.
that one's fucking nice.
Send me a link. I've never heard of the R0. That's a new one on me.
It says it was in Book of Boba Fett.
Really? Show me that motherfucker.
All
I want to see the baby.
right.
I'm curious
I
now. I do
want to
love the
see the
droids.
droid. I just sent it to the group chat. So it says R0 Astromechs were a series. They were used by the Resistance in starfighters such as the T-70 X-Wing. The series included Poe Dameron's R0H2 and Jessica Pava's
Okay,
R04LO.
so it's kind of like an R4 just with a shorter cone. So
Yeah, I
it's
think
not the
so.
height of the R4, but it's the shape, but it's more the height
It's
of
not the
R5.
height, it's the shape.
Well, that's wherein the question lies, because I mean, honestly, if you have the figures of these things, I
I
mean.
guess it depends on how big your imperial wallet is. Your
Prison wallet.
prison wallet. Yeah, sorry, how big your imperial prison wallet is.
That also boils down to how much time you've done. To
Well,
be quite
I guess you could just do like, maybe you did like, a day in the steel clink, but maybe people had their way,
I think that the R4 seems like the least painful for insertion purposes.
You sound like a man talking from experience.
Well, there's that time I've had that, and I know we've all had that dream, but you know, you have that dream where you're slowly trying to sit down on a fucking R4 astromech while a K2 droid jerks you off and tells you horrible things about yourself.
And we're spent. Yub nub, motherfuckers.
You will not defeat me.
All right, well, that is it. Thanks for tuning in. If you lasted this long,
I will touch your penis only because Cassian said I had to.
If you lasted this long, you deserve an award or something. Did I just said if you lasted right this here. Long? God damn it! So there you go. All right, thanks for tuning in.
I got
in.
An R4 droid lodged in my keister.
Next week, we're going to talk about The Outpost, Episode 12, Season 2. Come back, join us. Say bye.
All right, motherfucker. Take that droid out of your ass.
Your prison wallet's like a bag of lick-em sticks. What?
That's going at the end. That's the one.
Did I do that? Bad baby.